Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We praise you, Father, for help us to diligently pursue you, Father, to run after you with all our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we want a fresh anointing every day from your Holy Spirit that gives us the power to overcome the things of this world and this flesh. And we praise you for doing that for all of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing tonight to speak about the things that you want us to speak about. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment as well. And we thank you, Father, for the revelations that are going to come forth tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay, good. That's great. All right. All right, has anybody got a prayer request before we listen to a little praise song? Yeah, Julie.
I would appreciate y'all praying in agreement with me for I've just been attacked with this kind of a, especially today, this has been kind of heavy, but there's a lot of aches and pains in my body and stiffness, and I've just been standing in faith for it. But it always helps to have someone pray in agreement and, you know, take authority over the enemy with you.
Okay, we can do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. You've given us authority over everything. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father. That's the enemy. Everything that the enemy has is nothing compared to the power that you have. And we praise you and we thank you that you've given us access to that power. And in the name of Jesus, I break the power of this spirit of infirmity on Julie. You have to go and take all your pain and discomfort with you too right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Lord, that she is completely healed, delivered, and set free by the blood and stripes of Jesus. Glory be to God. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Lord.
You did it all.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank Praise you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. You did it all for me.
Yes, he did. He surely did. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, it's on, Pat. I never forget, brother. Amen. Yep. Okay. Anyone else got a prayer request? Can y'all believe with me? Hook your faith up with me. Did they? I don't know. Anyway, my wife is in a lot of pain right now and has been for a few days. And the last, she went to the doctor and they said that they thought she might have a kidney stone. How many of you know every time you go to the doctor, they're going to think about something that's wrong with you? Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against that curse that was spoken over her. And I command to be cast down as null and void. She does not have a kidney stone. In fact, she is completely healed in Jesus' name, and the pain has to go in the name of Jesus. You are a spirit of infirmity, and you have to leave her right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Father, that when she, as she's in bed right now, that pain will go, that tormenting spirit has to go. She has no problems, no discomfort in her body whatsoever in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, that your angels are all around about her. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that's filling her even as we speak right now, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, as she's sitting there spouting tongues all over the bedroom in there. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, we do. We break every word curse spoken against her by the doctors, nurses, or any kind of pharmacia in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that she is completely healed, because your word says it, we believe it, and that's enough. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that she's healed. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Ben, you ought to run for governor of Canada. You ought to. Andrew could be your manager there, whatever you call him. Okay, Teresa, go ahead. I just had to throw that in there, guys. I just had to.
Can we pray for Jesse? He's got to, you know, I'm on his property. And so, you know, I'm real familiar with his life, what's going on with him and his family. So we're having an Arctic blast snowstorm right now. And we've got deep snow. And he's got a long drive to work, an hour up there, hour back, and he's working 10-hour days. So can we pray for him, for his safety and well-being?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and also, since this is going to go, across Kansas, that God would protect everybody,
amen.
You know, from this blizzard that's going on. You know, we're having the cold temperatures, you know, the minus 17, the minus 20, the wind chill and all that, 30-mile-per-hour winds. So, you know, people need protection.
Okay. Father, we just, right now, we send the angels up there to send that cold snow and whatever is trying to come down on Kansas. We send it right back where it came from. And we thank you, Father, that your angels are surrounding her son, protecting him from any kind of harm, that his vehicle will not get one dent on it. And it won't hit the ditch. It's going to stay between the ditches, and it's going to take him all the way to work and back. And he is actually going to be refreshed by the time he gets back because of the Lord that's in his car or vehicle with him. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for Teresa, that she's going to be believing that all day long tomorrow, and thanking you for it, Father. And when I think about it, I will be too. And I praise you, Father, for no harms coming to her son at all, or his vehicle, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be.
Also for Terry, because he's still driving from... From Victoria, Kansas to Lawrence, Kansas, which is 3 hours up, 3 hours back to see the kids. Okay. And so, you know, he's got to stay at a hotel. That's the only time they get to see him. And so, and he's trying to, you know, get there as much as he is allowed to get there. And he's going no matter what the weather's at. And so can we, same protection over him as well. And
okay.
My daughter, too, and her family.
Okay. Father, we just lift up Teresa's family.
In Jesus' name.
We thank you, Lord, that everything we prayed for her first son is dittoed. And Terry and her daughter. What's her name?
Christy.
My daughter's
family name is Christy.
Her family, too, Lord. We
and
thank you.
And both. In Jesus' name.
And all of Teresa's family be protected, that everywhere they, every one of them, as they say, every one of them. We thank you, Lord, for you protecting, that your angels are right now. We just send them all. We send all of their angels to go and protect those that are out on the roads and have to go to work. We praise you, Father, that they're going to be protected, their vehicle's going to be protected, and they're going to get home on time.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. No harm to anybody. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Do they use chains up there in the snow on their vehicles?
No, because when you get on the highway, you got to take them off. And so they don't use chains.
Okay.
So, so if part of the interstate is iced over and part of it is not, they don't want to, they just try to get through the ice without having to put on chains rather than put them on. And then a couple miles down, you got to take them off.
Yeah,
So.
I understand. I understand. Thank you, Lord, for your supernatural provisions for them to get through the snow and the ice to work and back. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful testimony we're going to have. In Jesus' name. Okay.
Yes.
Here's what I want to pray for that too. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command that low front or high front, or what they call that thing, trying to come down here into Tennessee and into Arkansas. It ain't going to hit it. It's going to go right across Missouri, not drop down into Arkansas. It's going over into whatever state that is. What is that, Kentucky next? No, it's Illinois. And then whatever's next over there. It ain't coming to Tennessee. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that your angels have got it held back. We're not going to get it. And it's going to hit Missy up there. She's going to get a bunch of good looking, wonderful looking snow. Oh, you don't want snow. Oh, okay. All right, go ahead, Missy.
We ain't supposed to get hardly anything
Okay.
here. Anyway, I wanted to pray for the people in Kentucky because they were hit really bad with flooding, and now they're supposed to get hit with snow. So Father, we just ask you for your mercy and grace in the name of Jesus upon these people. And we cancel all weather manipulation in the name of Jesus. We ask that we send forth the angels, that many people would entertain angels unaware, Lord, that they would help those people in Kentucky and anywhere else that was affected by flooding, and that they would be in a safe, warm place, Lord, out of the weather, and that the government would get help there quickly, Lord. And I believe that is happening. And we thank you, Lord, for however you do it, keeping FEMA out of there. And we just send the angels to find the money that's abroad, that's stored away, hidden offshore. FEMA money. We send the angels to snatch it up and give it to those who need it. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for
amen.
keeping FEMA out. Just doing away with it in Jesus' name. Locking up those that are complicit in it. All right. Anyone else? Lord, we thank you for taking care of all of our old people through the Social Security network that you've got. We praise you, Father, for all the 200-year-old people that are being taken care of, even still today. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. That is awesome. Listened to Trump a while ago, and he was telling I forget how many millions are over 100 years old that they're still paying Social Security all the way up to 209 years old. They're still paying Social Security benefits too. Yeah. What is that? What, 400?
It was higher than that. It was
Was
higher
it?
than that. It was like
Okay.
359 years old or something like that. Yeah. Crazy.
Pat.
I don't know that I've heard yet if they found out if they're actually paying those individuals or those older, they've only just mentioned that they are still on the rolls. Whether or not they're being paid or issued checks, it hasn't been. I don't think it's really been specified if that's the case or not. However, if they are being paid, then it would be that would be a significant rabbit hole to follow where that money is going, you know, where it's.
Well, you know they're doing that, yeah. Listen, if they're still on the rolls, somebody's getting a check. Yeah, that's just a natural fact. And they do that on purpose. That's the deep state getting money from the government, from us. That's the stuff that we paid in. But yeah, this, I tell you, the stuff that they're paying money to, it just amazes me. If you went through there, you couldn't do anything but laugh at what they're doing. It's just out of this world. How many millions and millions of dollars are just going for nothing? And we got people over in North Carolina, down in Florida, I mean, not Florida, but California, that are hurting for money. Can't get anything. Can't get anything to eat. Can't get nothing from FEMA at all, except a bunch of outlaws out there trying to rob and steal, kill. Lord, we just thank you for exposing all of it, and they're doing it. Now, we praise you for that, Father, and we thank you, Lord, for exposing all that are involved in it. Okay. Other than that, everything's fine in the government. Yeah, Pat.
They have a, I think Trump mentioned that they found a couple that are 250 years old that are still on the rolls. But even though, so I guess my question is, how would, since Social Security was only what it was started in, what, 1913 or something like that? It's only 100 and some years old. So how would, you know, they would almost have to be creating Social Security numbers for people that were dead.
Bingo.
I would think. Bingo. I
Oh,
wonder if they're voting as well.
probably. Probably been doing it for 250 something years. Oh my, it's such a mess that they've got over there. Golly. And the left are just going nuts, you know, while you're getting into people's private bit, a 209-year-old, you're getting into their private database. Give me a break. Praise God, we are. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Julie.
Well, it's kind of like what Elon said. He said, he goes, I heard his words, something about he, you know, he was the one that founded, created PayPal. He had
Yeah.
access to all kinds of people's money. He doesn't care about your, you know, a few thousand dollars you make every month or whatever. He's the richest, isn't he the richest man in the world or something like that? Close to it. He doesn't care.
Well, that's debatable, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, whoever. We know, but that's, he's very wealthy. He doesn't.
He's very wealthy. He's very wealthy. He ain't got to worry about what I got in all my $8 I got in my bank account, that's for sure. I don't care. He can look in that all he wants to. Maybe he'll put some in there to help me. Oh, this poor boy needs some money. Glory to God. We'll put some money in there to help that poor guy. $8. Come on now. Amen. Yeah, it's just a big, then it's, just think how many trillions of dollars has this been going, how long has this been going on, and how many trillions and trillions of dollars have been done this way? Golly, this is horrendous. I guarantee you, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna make a prediction. You're going to see in the next few days that there was no gold in Fort Knox. Y'all remember years ago? I don't know if you remember years ago, it came out that there was not a bar of gold in Fort Knox. That might have been back in the, what, 90s, 80s, 90s, somewhere along there. Not a bar of gold was in Fort Knox. That's, by the way, That's where we're supposed to be keeping our money, but we don't keep our money there anymore. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I was thinking it was when President Trump, in his first term, he went to Fort Knox and found it empty. I don't know if that was the first time it was made
That's
public.
no, that's this. I'm talking probably 25, 30 years ago. They came out. It might have been Ted Gunderson that said it. I don't remember. But he said that there's not a bar of gold in Fort Knox. They shipped it off overseas all over the place. And why, I don't remember why they what the excuse was. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, to enrich themselves. But I don't know if you saw this on the news. Great Britain sent a couple of plane loads of gold bars back just today or yesterday. They heard that Trump was fixing to go over and open the doors to Fort Knox, and they said what they had, what they knew they had anyway. Back, that's what I understand now. I don't know, all of this could be fabricated, but I don't know. I kind of believe it. I believe this government in the past could have done anything. You know, the Washington, D.C. is considered the sex trafficking trade in and human trafficking trade in the world. It's the biggest in the world. That's just horrendous that that's going on. But you know why? There's a lot of people there that are pedophiles and perverts and all that kind of garbage. And Lord, we thank you for exposing every one of them. Do what, Missy?
They're in the government.
Yeah, I believe it.
All the Republicans, Democrats, rhinos. It's
Yeah. Well,
crazy.
they had those tunnels underneath the White House that all the way back they've been having those kind of parties in there, according to what we've read anyway. It's just horrendous what they, and it's not, we're talking children. Oh Lord, thank you for exposing it and getting it taken care of. Jesus' name. Oh, I was telling Julie and Missy a while ago that they arrested Joy Barr from The View, trying to leave the country because she didn't want to face a $50 million slander suit by Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary of Trump's. Oh, I thought that was so cool. She looks good in handcuffs. They handcuffed her and escorted her before she got on the plane. My internet connection is not unstable, it is stable in the name of Jesus. You quit saying that. Amen. All right. Down to Jesus now. Let's just leave the news back. We're getting away from the world. Andrew, you want to pose your question to everybody again? We could go over that and look at it and see what we could find if you'd like.
Well, sure. I'll read the verses in Daniel out of both the King James and the ASV. It's just there. I remember this raiser of taxes, and I don't know exactly what it means for our day, you know, because I don't know if I'm confusing it with another thing that in Luke chapter 2, there's supposed to be a raiser of taxes there too, of some sort, which is a prophetic thing for our day, for when, for instance, that 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 which was, that is that which shall be, that for the last days, the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years, the Gospels and the Book of Acts of the tribulation. So I'll just read this verse because I just remember they used to teach something on it. I it's just something, I don't know if it's pertinent for today. So the ASV says in Daniel 11:20, then shall stand up in his place one that shall cause an exactor to pass through the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And then there's the King James, and this is the one that I sort of remembered the quote, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. So the question is, in accordance to what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, that these things are written for our as a figure for our admonishment upon the end of the days. I was just wondering if anyone knows how to translate that for our day. And does it have anything to do with what we see now? Just a question.
All right, who's it talking about?
Well, who's Daniel 11, isn't he supposed to be talking about someone? I don't know. I don't know. I can't say because I don't know what the teaching on this is. I know the church has a teaching on this because I remember them saying something, but all I remember is the raiser of taxes. And it's a reference to end times prophecy also. And I don't know what they say about that. I don't know what the pre-tribbers say about that or anyone.
Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on that particular verse, or do we need to look at this by when we get alone? Because it may go back a few verses, quite a bit.
That's almost something I'd need to read the whole chapter and try to get a flavor for what it's talking about. I know one thing. Chapter 11 and 12, you know, Daniel there, that's all, for me, it's very, I don't know if it's confusing or whatever, but I don't really, I don't have a handle on that. That's definitely out there, you know, so I know I don't have anything related to it.
I'll tell you what, let's hold off
what
till.
Was your question, I think?
I'm sorry?
It was just a statement. I'm not asking a question. I was just wondering if anyone can discern it and give me. Anyway.
I have a
video I'd like to share. It's about 8 minutes long.
Okay. All right.
It's about John G. Lake. Some people might want to. I don't know if I even know how to share anymore, but it's. I can't say it's this one here because you can't see my screen yet.
He's not sharing. Y'all hear that?
So,
okay, you tell them. Yeah, you have permission right now. All you have to do is hit the share button down there at the bottom, that green button. And you want to share when you open it up. You want to share the audio and the video, and make sure it's you've picked what you want to share on that particular page. Then you hit share. You hit the red button up where it says share.
I don't know how to do this. So.
Okay. Why don't you send Julie the link and she'll do it.
Andrew?
Okay. It's.
Is it a YouTube?
You can.
It's a YouTube thing. It's the Secrets of John G. Lake, Healing Power Revealed. Faith.
Oh, I've got that.
Posting quotes. So, yeah.
Okay.
It's just an 8-minute video.
Yeah.
It's one that I downloaded. You can kind of, I like listening to it a lot. It's kind of uplifting. So did you get that, Julie?
Michael's got it. I think he's going to get it. He has
John, Secrets of Healing Power.
Yeah, that's it. It's the Secrets of John D. Lake's Healing Power Revealed. Yeah. The Secrets of John D. Lake's Healing Power Revealed. Faith boosting quote. Yeah. I used to know how to do these shares, but I'm kind of lost nowadays when it comes to anything. Yeah, it's just maybe people who want to download it and listen to it a few times. I don't know.
Michael, you got it?
Yeah. I got it. I'm just, what I'm doing is I'm going to put the link in the chat too. So
Ben already did.
Ben did.
Okay.
That.
All right.
Thank you, Ben.
All right. Let's see. Let me share here a little bit. And let's see here.
Beyond what we believe to be possible. We are awakening to that marvelous truth. That Christ is not in the heavens only, nor the atmosphere only, but Christ is in you. Jesus did not heal the sick in order to coax them to be Christians. He healed because it was his nature to heal. Fear of the devil is nonsense. Fear of demons is foolish. The Spirit of God anointing the Christian heart makes the soul impregnable to the powers of darkness. In Christ we become God's sons, man's servants and the devil's masters. The secret of Christianity is in being. It is in being a possessor of the nature of Jesus Christ. When a Christian tries to live by reason, he is moving out of God's country into the enemy's land. We belong in the miraculous and the supernatural realm. Beloved, it is not our long prayers but our belief in God that gets the answer. Science is the discovery of how God does things. Miracles are creative. Healing is the restoration of what has been. For the sake of the dying, suffering world, count the cost, pay the price and set the captives free. God is as destructive of evil as it is creative of good. Take the words of Jesus and let them become the supreme court of the gospel to you. Beloved, if any unholiness exists in the nature, it is not there by the consent of the Spirit of God. If unholiness is in your life, it is because your soul is giving consent to it, and you are retaining it. Let it go. Cast it out and let God have His way in your life. Men have said that the cross of Christ was not a heroic thing, but I want to tell you that the cross of Jesus Christ has put more heroism in the souls of men than any other event in human history. The ministry of Christianity is the ministry of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that inhabits the words, that speaks to the spirit of another and reveals Christ in and through him. Christ is at once the spotless descent of God into man and the sinless ascent of man into God, and the Holy Spirit is the agent by whom this is accomplished. If you are having the right kind of spiritual fellowship, you will have power with God, and there is no escaping it. When I saw for the first time by the Word of God that sickness was not the will of God, everything in my nature rose up to defeat the will of the devil. Healing is not always obtained by saying a prayer. It is obtained by obeying God. I feel that very frequently prayer is made a refuge to dodge the action of faith. Salvation is not just something God gives you that is going to bless you after you die, it is having the presence of the Lord now. The wonder is that Jesus purposed to make your heart and mind just as sweet and lovely and pure and holy as His own. It became easy for me to detach myself from the course of life, so that while my hands and mind were engaged in the common affairs of every day, my spirit maintained its attitude of communion with God. The power of God, the Holy Ghost, is the spirit of dominion. It makes one a God. Do you know what prayer is? It is not begging God for this and that. The first thing we have to do is to get you beggars to quit begging until a little faith moves in your souls. There is a mighty lot of difference between saying prayers and praying. There is only one reality. That reality is God. The soul of man must contact God. And unless the spirit of man is truly joined to God, there is no such thing as real Christian manifestation. A man's life will be of the character of his thought. His outward life will be as the inner impulse is. The reason that people do not have a rich, beautiful faith is that their spirit is denied the privilege of communion and fellowship with the Father. It is almost a sadness to my soul that men should be astonished and surprised at an ordinary, tangible evidence of the power of God. The great majority of the Christian world is still weeping at the foot of the cross. The consciousness of man is fixed on the Christ who died, not the Christ who lives. They are looking back to the Redeemer who was, not the Redeemer who is. It is a sad thing when you hear Christians with a groan in them. When I meet the groaner, I say in my heart, God, move that man on into the place where he comprehends what Christianity is. Men tell us in these days that sin is what you think it is. Well, it is not. Sin is what God thinks it is. You may think according to your own conscience. God thinks according to His. There were days when the church could club men into obedience by preaching hell to them, but that day has long passed. The world has outgrown it. If the church ever succeeds in doing that big thing, that great thing, that unspeakable thing that God purposes that we should do, it can only be when we enter into the divine compassion of the Son of God. Because of the fact that a man by the action of his will, puts himself purposely in contact with God, faith takes possession of his heart, and the condition of his nature is changed. Instead of being fearful, he is full of faith, Instead of being absorbent and drawing everything to himself, his spirit repels sickness and disease. The spirit of Christ Jesus flows through the whole being, and emanates through the hands, the heart, and from every pore of the body. The purpose of Jesus is not only to save men from their sins, but by the grace of God to begin in the souls of men that marvelous development in the nature and mind and understanding of God our Father, until by the grace of God we are able to take our place and our part in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and bear our share of responsibility. Do not imprison Christ in you. Let him live, let him manifest himself, let him find vent through you. One of the beautiful things about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it is progressive in its revelation and application. We have run into false theology, we have run into churchianity and human interpretations, and a hundred other follies, but friends, it is a perfectly lovely and refreshing thing to get back to Jesus. The reason for the resurrection is that the kingdom of Christ is not to be in heaven entirely. It is to be in this world. And the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to rule in this world. Consequently, while we live in this world we will need a body like our Lord's, capable of existence here, and capable of existence over there. Christ was a miracle. Every Christian is a miracle. Every answer to prayer is a miracle. Every divine illumination is a miracle. The power of Christianity in the world is a miraculous power. God help us to realize that ours is a high and holy calling. The Spirit of God at work in a man goes thousands of miles beyond psychological influence.
So, what's the first step in getting a prayer answered? Guess what?
That's the one, Michael. Yeah. He has lots of nice comments there just to meditate on, you know, like it's not to make someone feel lower or anything. It's just a good meditation thing. And it's like, I put it on repeat sometimes when I'm doing the dishes or something. So it really makes you down to getting into what you're supposed to be when in Christ Jesus, you know. So
yeah. I also have one here that's called John G. Lake's Secrets of Spiritual Power, and it's just a little four page booklet thing. And do y'all mind if I read? I think I've read it on here once before, but I'd like to read it again if it kind of lines up with what we're doing here. Secrets of Spiritual Power. Number one, spiritual hunger. Intense desire. A desire for the fulfillment of spiritual results, not a desire for more of God. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I exercise a position of the dominion and authority of Jesus and seek to establish that through the power of the Holy Ghost in my life and the life of others. We do not ask God to come and heal, but we demand in the name of Jesus for that devil and his works to depart. Now, how to develop spiritual hunger? Appetite. The same way you develop physical hunger. Increase energy output, which will require greater energy input. You must force yourself to do the things you normally do not do. Eat when you don't want to. Eat more often than you're used to. This will stress your stomach, forcing you to eat more next time just to feel full. Example, pray more often, study the Bible more often, witness more often, begin to practice what you learn in church or in fellowship or in Yeah, just fellowship. Number two, feeding on the Word of God. A, read, take a portion of Scripture and get the overall story. B, study, take a verse apart, word by word, get definitions. C, meditate. Think about and say over and over to yourself what you have discovered in this verse. Receive it, believe it, and act on it. Number three, communion with God. A, talking prayer. B, listening prayer. C, practice the presence of the Spirit of God. Number four, fellowship with like-minded Christians. A, get around people that believe like you do. B, if there are none in your area, win some, and then disciple them into this truth. C, if the people in your church are dead and resistant to this truth, leave that place and find a place that accepts it. If there's no place like that near you, start one. You are a missionary. Number five, public confession of who you are in Christ and who He is in you. A, Jesus is Lord of me, my family, my city, my nation, finances, and health, etc. B, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Mark 16:15-18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that disbelieves shall be condemned, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. All things, therefore, whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, even so do ye also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. D, the abiding anointing, 1 John 2:27. And as for you, the anointing which you received of him abides in you, and you need not that anyone teach you, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it taught you, ye abide in him. E, power over the enemy, Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall in any wise hurt you. F, the works of Jesus and greater. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. G, I am God's son, man's servant, and the devil's master. Glory to God. Number six, praying in tongues. A, loud, it brings up the fight in you. B, long time yourself and get longer each time. Build spiritual stamina. And that's a natural fact right there. C, intensity, fight, as if your life depends upon it. It does, and if not your life, somebody else's. Number seven, action. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. Lake said, it is the law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting. Now, you have to say that two or three times in order to get it. But it's true. It is the law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing. In other words, you just do it faster than I can believe myself into acting. In other words, just sit there and dwell on it. Don't dwell on it, just do it. Amen. That's the end of it. I read this quite often myself. I like it. All right. What he's talking about is being a disciple of Christ, isn't he? He just wants us to be a disciple of Christ. That's all. Bear the fruit of Jesus. And that's how you do it right there. And what Andrew was showing you earlier, or I was showing you from Andrew, it's all very biblical. And it's right on time now. Now's the time to draw nigh unto God. He did some wonderful things last night with us. It was awesome. Thank you, Father. Time is getting short, and I love it. Thank you, Father God. Glory be to God. All right, has anybody got any questions or any concerns or any more to add to what we're talking about here? I think this would be a good subject tonight. How do we walk like Jesus? Yeah, Patrick?
It was one of the things that stood out in that video was about halfway through it. He said, when I saw that for the first time by the word of God that sickness was not the will of God, everything in my nature rose up to defeat the will of the devil. And right after that, he said, healing is not always obtained by saying a prayer. It is obtained by obeying God.
Yeah.
And so the thought was, obeying God in what? In other words, just the statement obeying God is a bit of a, go ahead, Andrew. I was going to say it's rather vague. It's open, widespread, but go ahead, Daniel. I mean, Andrew, Daniel.
Pardon the look like that Daniel. Works.
Anyways, I was thinking of the first fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5:22, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the, but it's love is there, it's agape, it's obedience, and I, how does love correlate with holiness? An agreement, can two walk together lest they agree? And you make an agreement in love with your spouse, and you actually accept them. You're accepting your wife. You're accepting to love someone, and it's a covenant too. He quoted some verses there, Michael, in the covenant we have with God. It's agreement, that for all shall know him from the least to the greatest, So this love is something you just go into because, love never fails. It's the love chapter, it's a sincere obedience to God. And he knows you want to love him. All we want to do is love God constantly. And we want the truth too. And he gives us a multitude of promises. So we enact on them. We know that living is the word of God and active, and we're supposed to be the lively ones. So these are just comments. I'm not saying they're answers. They're comments to meditate on, you know, to think about when you're meditating on the Lord. So I just go ahead, Pat, before you lose your train of thought.
Well, I was thinking what love obviously is the motivation, but the motivation for what? Because it, the motivation for obedience, I'm just hanging on that particular statement that John Lake said, healing is not always obtained by saying a prayer. And the healing that John Lake talks about is not only personal receiving healing, but I think a lot more of the healing that he's referring to is the healing of others through our faith, through our, you know, and I believe that's what he's referring to in that statement. Healing is not always obtained by saying a prayer, but obtained by obeying God. And he makes it a point in some of his writings that Jesus healed, the motivation, excuse me, of his healing ministry was the motivation of compassion. He in love had compassion on those in need. Multitude of times in the Gospels said he had compassion on them and healed them all. I believe that the connection that he's talking about is it is obtained by obeying God is relative to, or could be comparable to, if Jesus had compassion on the multitudes, but simply sat there and had compassion, but did not practically obey and become proactive in expressing that compassion by laying on hands and various other things, speaking healing into those people that were of need. And I believe that's where John Lake is making the connection. It is obtained by obeying God. That's kind of what I, the thing that jumped out to me about that particular, that video. So.
Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I will say one other quick thing. Sure. And this may not be, I think it's on the topic, but you know, there are stories about the Welsh, I think it's the Welsh revival. Is that the one that Penn Lewis wrote about in War on the Saints? Do you know?
I'm not sure. It may have been.
That book was pretty instructive, and what it brought out was that the Welsh revival was, I mean, there was all kinds of people being healed and, you know, the Spirit of God moving in people's hearts and lives and whatever, but it was squelched out by the devil coming in and manipulating people and whatever. And what the bottom line, how she explained it, is that what happened is people took a passive role. Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, took a passive role and allowed spiritual influences to come in and take them as the, and receive them as though they were all from God type thing. And they took, they put, they, there was a sense of, or the amount of passivity in people that allowed certain things to happen, and the devil neutralized that revival. And it's kind of related to what I think John Lake is saying here, is that when he's connecting healing to obedience, is because of the moving out of passivity and into action, in obedience to the Spirit of God, and not simply, you know, holding it in or resting or remaining passive, I guess you might say. So anyway, that's
amen. Well, that sounds good to me. I think he wants us to take our passivity into action. Be a doer of the word, Lord of God.
Didn't mean to interrupt you, Andrew.
Well, I was just going to bring up an example where I saw these two guys doing some street ministry, and they were going down the street and they were praying for people to be healed. And there was these two young gentlemen, they were cousins, and one of them got a healing, but the other one got saved. And they later gave him a card to go to the church so that this healed person can figure out why he was healed, you know. And of course, he needs to understand that that healing is getting rid of his affliction. Like, he had an affliction in his knee, and then he started to do cartwheels down the street and flips and stuff, and I even think he shocked the two people by what he did there. And he says, "What did you do? I'm healed," you know. And he couldn't, I guess he was overly anxious and enamored from what he just went through. But the other, his cousin, got saved, you know, and I'm sure they went to the church just to get more, you know. So there's a drawing from God through all that. And I just wanted to mention that, you know, because, you know, according to Deuteronomy 28, we're not, he's associating sin with sickness, but he's doing it in reverse with this guy. Hopefully he gets the full gospel. He took his sickness, and he's going to take his sin, you know, like Jesus is not at the cross yet, and he saved the woman who was hunched over for 14 years, you know. And what kind of salvation she had in her old covenant, I guess, because she was a daughter of Abraham, but later on she would be exposed to the gospel, because God already worked with her through her son Jesus Christ. So now he's going to work through her again when he goes to prepare that place for her, you know, at the cross. And she's going to have, of course, the Jesus within her, the new Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. It's just a comment. That's all I'm saying, is a comment here. I could only comment on these things, but I do believe that God gives you practice with yourself too, to be motivated to go out to others to do those things. And you get some people who just go out right away, and they're not pastors or anything, like Sheffy, for instance, and he goes out and brings the gospel to people, and he gets some miracles. He prays against a guy still, and a big tree falls on it, and it happened the next few hours after that. You know, a big storm came that night. And, anyway, yeah, so there's taking the action of doing this, because we're supposed to be in accordance to living is the word of God and active. So, and I know we try to activate the more of the word of God in ourselves through studying and prayer and stuff. And sometimes we do pray for others and things happen. And it's kind of like Peter on the rooftop and everything's set up for him, you know, and the two guys from what's the city where Cornelius is from, come to the door, and he can follow through step by step, you know. And then when he comes to the end of that, what did God have set up for Peter next time? You know what I mean? Or did he have something set up for Philip or something? You know, and then they would all come back and report what they done, you know. And it's good to have that huge fellowship what they had with all those apostles together at that time, you know, in the beginning of the book of Acts. And, of course, Jesus also had some really nice times there when he sent out the 12 and then the 70. So, you know, there. I know there's a parallel there of some sort that we're supposed to be going through in the future because of the way we were taught here, according to the first 3.5 years being in the gospel and the second 3.5 years being the book of Acts. So you have this desire to go out and do these things. And, you know, what's the hindrance? What's there shouldn't be a hindrance, you know, and to whatever level we should act on, I believe we should act on it right away and do what we're supposed to do. We want to hear clearly from the Lord. We want to obey. We want to do what he says that we were supposed to do. And we want to have courage when we do it too. So I guess he's got to work out a lot of stuff at us to get this done, because I don't have any sort of formal, I always say that word, formal way of doing this, of going out and witnessing. I'm kind of a shy person, and then when I do have it, I get a little bit too bold sometimes. And then, I kind of hope that there's always going to be something to whatever witness you make to someone, you know, because it's not us, it's God that has to make it function. It's God that has to follow through with his sovereignty over everything to make it function. I'm just making statements here, you know, because I've had some things follow through with things for myself and things that I've seen for praying for others. And you know, you always want it to be the big thing, you know, and you come into agreement with your with your fellowship of people in the one body, you know. And those are my comments. I'm not saying you try these comments out. You do them because you want to be obedient, right? I guess you want to be doing the faith that worketh love, you know, and doing the goodness that worketh love, doing the self-control that worketh love, doing the peace, you know. Doing peace that worketh love is the two are made one, thus making peace. You know, you want this procreation of Christ to go out of you and go into other people so that they can have their two made one too. For it is God that worketh in you both. I'm not schizophrenic, but you're supposed to be, because the both is you and Christ. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure these things out and get ready for a future time, you know, that whether or not God uses me in a powerful way or in the smallest of ways, because he loves me and I know he loves me, and he wants to see me where I'm supposed to be at my new address after the rapture, you know. So I got to guard the deposit that he's given me, and I know he guards the deposit that he's given me. So the deposit is Christ, of course, in us, and that's the God-man in us. So praise and glory to God. We share a name with the Father, with the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You know, that's right after you get that Luke 10:19-20. Is it 10:19-20? Yeah, Luke 10:19-20, you know, rejoice that your names are written in the heavens. So there's the name sharing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're immersed in that, unless you got drowned when you were baptized. It would have been a good way to go, but I don't think the pastor would have been too happy, or whoever baptized. Praise God.
I see I'm muted. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, absolutely. Glory to God. Has anybody got anything else before I read something here? I've read it before, but I think it bears witnessing again, because it'll help you walk in divine health. Not only that, you'll be able to heal yourself if you get this. All right, this is Lake. This is John Lake. We're on Lake, so I'm just going to put it in there. Back when Dr. Lake had his healing rooms up in Spokane, he went to pray for a woman. Actually, she came to the healing room. She'd been prayed for several times and no result. Nothing changed. Can y'all hear me okay? So finally, they came to him and said, "Brother Lake, we're doing this and it just doesn't seem to be working. We can't just get it to happen," talking about her healing. And so he said, "All right, well, I'll pray for her. I'll deal with her." So they took her off to the side and he sat down next to her and he started talking to her. And she said, "Yeah, I know, you know. If you just lay hands, I know, yeah, I know healing's in the atonement. Yeah, I know." Well, she already knew all the doctrine. She knew everything. You see, people that know the doctrine are usually the hardest people to get healed, because they already know it. And what they do is, it's like reading a scripture that you've read 1,000 times before. And the next time you read it, you don't really read it. You just kind of, oh, that one. Yeah, okay. And then zip your mind, run forward to the end, because you've already heard it. That's the worst thing that you can do, because you'll miss the details that God wants to bring out for you right then. So you should always look at the Word of God as something precious. And you ought to look at each thing. It's like a jewel that you want to look at each facet of it. The woman was there, and the woman said, "Yeah, everybody else is laying hands on me, so just go ahead." And he said he stopped there for a moment, and he said, "You're a Christian?" She said, "Well, of course I am. Sure I am." And he said, "Well, you have the Spirit of God in you?" She said, "Well, of course I do." He said, "All right, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to lay hands on you. Here's what you're going to do. I want you to go over and sit in that chair." And it was kind of like a chaise lounge type of thing. He said, "I want you to go sit in that." And he said, "Are you saved?" She said, "I've told you I'm saved." And he said, "So Jesus lives in your spirit. And she said, yeah. They said, so I want you to go over and sit. And for a few minutes, I don't want you to do anything else. Just sit. I'm not going to pray for you. And I don't want you to pray. I want you to just sit there and realize that as much as Jesus is in your spirit, he wants to be in your soul and in your flesh. And I want you to let him out of your spirit into your flesh. And she thought, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And she sat there for a few minutes and started thinking about it. And he said, Blake said, is Jesus in your flesh yet? And she said, I don't understand what you're talking about. And he waited a few more minutes and he said, just recognize Jesus is in your spirit and he wants out. Let him out. Just let him into your flesh. Woman, I added that. He didn't add that. I added that. A few more minutes. So he said, so where's Jesus? Have you let him out yet? And this woman looked at him and said, he's in my flesh, just like he's in my spirit. And Lake said, yeah. And she goes, no, he's in my flesh just like he's in my spirit. And she started getting more and more excited and started saying, I've got it. I've got it. I understand. He's in my spirit and he's in my flesh. And he looked at her and he said, well, if he's in your spirit, then death can't be in your spirit. She said, well, of course not. And he said, well, then, if he's in your flesh, then death cannot be in your flesh. She said, that's right. He said, well, if death's not in your flesh, then you can't get sick. You can't get sick, can you? She said, you're right. He's in my flesh and I'm healed, glory to God. And she got up healed right then. Why? He didn't lay hands on her, but she recognized and let the spirit that was in her out into her flesh. And that was healed because of it. I tried that. I think I told y'all this. I woke up one morning, I had that, what is it called? I had it in this shoulder years and years ago. Anyway, rotator cuff in my left arm. Then I couldn't raise my arm up. I couldn't do nothing. It was so much pain. I woke up and I had been sleeping on it. And man, I said, what is this? That feels like that carpal tunnel thing I had years ago that the Lord healed. And so what I did that afternoon, it stayed with me all day until I read this thing here. And I said, uh-oh, Lord, you did it with her. She can do it with me, bless God. So I got over here in my chase lounge. And I sat down and I just started, I imagined Jesus here. And I just imagined that the Holy Spirit was just abounding in me, in my spirit. And as I, you know how you just know that God is there? You don't have to feel anything, but you just have this knowing that God is there. Has anybody experienced that? Okay, good. Anyway, I knew that God was there, and I knew that God, and I just told myself, I said, Spirit, you get out of my spirit and go into my flesh now, in Jesus' name. Go into my flesh now, in Jesus' name. And I put my right hand on my left shoulder, and I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I just immediately raised up my arm like that, completely healed. Completely healed. Glory to God. I just got up and went to dancing around, hollering, yelling, screaming. And I was so amazed at that. But that's how you can do it. You can do it yourself. It doesn't have to be shelter. It could be anything apart about you, you know. And I tell you, I've been procrastinating. I wanted to do something else with it, and I haven't done it yet. And I'm going to do it, and we'll have another testimony. How's that? So I want everybody to try that on something that you've had or whatever, on yourself. And then we'll have testimonies next time about how you did it and how it happened. Because he's right. The Spirit of God lives in your spirit. All you have to do is tell him to go out in your flesh. Move out into your flesh. Because once he's in your flesh, sickness has to go, doesn't it? Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, Missy.
In Romans 8, somewhere it says something to the effect of the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in your body, and the Spirit of God gives life to your mortal body. Something like that. I got to find it so I give a proper quote. But yeah.
Yeah.
It might be 8:16.
Yeah. Sound like, go ahead, Julie, while she's looking that up.
I was thinking that scripture Missy's going to quote too, correctly. He's going to read it. But I was thinking also that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and his life is in our blood, and his blood, our blood goes through, you can see your veins on your hands, right? You can see, you know, so it's like it's everywhere. And, you know, little capillaries that are in, you know, so it's in your skin, it's in your face, it's everywhere.
Amen.
So it's like that life, his life is, his words are spirit and life, and we drink his blood and eat his body.
Yeah. Amen.
Another way to apply the scriptures to it. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Pat, did you put a book on it?
No, that's 7 minutes. I'm sorry, I should have put the 7 minutes and 23 seconds into that video that we watched.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I should have put that in there.
the time he's quoted that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Missy.
It's Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. That is an awesome verse.
It is. It's a good verse. It's a great verse.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right, anybody else? I want to walk in divine health, don't y'all? I want to walk in divine health. I not only want to walk in divine health, I want to talk to Jesus all the time. We talked about this last time. I want Jesus to talk to me all the time. But there's something that we have to do, isn't it? We have to make time for. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Whew, man, it's nice in here. It's up to 82 now. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'll tell you something when we get off the recording. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Pat.
So, can I share one of the questions or clarifications that got answered to me?
Sure.
Or at least today. I'm flipping back over to it. So I've been thinking about that, in 1 Peter 2:24 says, who by his own who's by his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And I've heard the comment that healing there refers to a spiritual healing, you know, and not a physical healing. And I've, you know, I've always, I used to take, well, I still do take the aspect of that statement is not relevant anyway, because everything happens in the spirit before it happens in the soul and body. It's all in the spirit first. Anything that happens in the kingdom of God or in the world is by faith. So it all starts in a spiritual thing. I mean, this happens in the world all the time. I mean, I'm in a business or in an industry, the construction industry, that 95% of that whole construction building project is all spirit. It's all people's imaginations, architects and designers' imaginations, and what they've had in their mind, they put it on paper as a description, and all of the conversations and all of the bidding process and how much is it going to cost and sending bids out to contractors and all of that is imagination. When you create a bid, you form a picture in your mind, say it's going to take so many hours to do such and such and whatever. Well, point being, everything, literally everything in that construction process is all in the spirit. It's all spiritual first. And I'm not speaking in terms of spirit, meaning righteousness versus unrighteousness. I'm talking about, it's all words. It's all imagination. It's all talking about certain things and what, you know, what we want to see. And the only time that vision takes place is in the field, when you start to take that imagination and people actually start to buy materials and bring equipment on site and actually start forming that imagination according to the drawings. And, you know, we you know, in the, and then at the very end, you look at the thing and say, oh, look what was done. And you think it was all, and there's a tendency to think it was all done right there at the very end. But again, 90% of that was planning and design and figuring and questions asked and this and that and everything in the spirit. So that whole concept of, you know, by whose stripes ye were healed, being in the spirit, to me, doesn't hold any water just in that aspect. But the Lord kind of clarified how it is, and just in a couple scriptures, how he proved or confirmed that it was actually related to he was talking about physical healing here. And of course, that scripture refers to is a repetition or repeat of what was spoken in Isaiah 53, where he said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And so Peter obviously was repeating what Isaiah prophesied regarding Christ and his healing. But this, but then if you read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17 is kind of the clincher that pulls these two scriptures together. And in Matthew 8:16, it says, "And when even was come, they brought unto him," unto Jesus, "many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick." And then the next verse says, "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases." So Matthew here, what connected the fact that Jesus healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled what Isaiah spoke. Isaiah spoke again. He said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Peter, again saying, "By whose stripes ye were healed." And that healing is a physical healing confirmed by Matthew 8:16 and 17. So to me, it kind of, it's just another one of those things. I think there's more related to that and the connection with the atonement and everything, but this portion here, just it was just a quick, this proves that type of thing, which to me was very logical to, you know, to grab onto. So anyway, I just thought I would share. That's kind of what I was reading this morning, which was kind of interesting. And it dissolves any doubt that physical healing is meant by that verse and by the fact that Jesus, by his stripes, we were healed. That is obviously a physical meaning of a physical healing. So, anyway.
Amen. David explains that quite well in Real Good News with salvation. That word salvation, which is soteria, means everything. Man, it takes everything, you man. Glory to God. No, it's not. Quit telling me that. You cursing, trying to curse me. Get out of here. All right. Who's next? Y'all want to hear a good song? Okay. I bet you Judy fixed to say something here. Anytime, Judy. You're ready.
Okay. You all sang this Friday night on the live stream. So I'm going to play that song. I'm not going to sing it, at least not.
Oh, come on, girl.
I'll sing it, but with my mic closed.
Okay. Is that the one we sang the first time in the meeting?
I think so.
Okay. I told Chuck after the meeting Friday night, I said, that's the best song list we've had all year round.
You are mine.
Amen. You know, Friday, Monday night, I keep thinking that y'all see Monday nights too, but you don't. Monday night, first time at Chuck played. Well, Hezekiah Walker song. Yeah, we had a great time. It was an awesome time. Yeah, it was great. He did good. That was probably the best song list that he's had up there, as far as I'm concerned, because it was all real, real good, getting out of your chair type of praise music. And guess what? Jesus showed up. Praise God. He did. Yeah. It was awesome. Okay. Anybody got anything else? How many of you remember the tenets of quantum faith? Oh, almost unanimous. Oh, boy. Oh, I knew that's going to happen.
You can refresh our memories?
I'm going to. Listen, every possible outcome already exists in the quantum faith realm. The outcome you get or I get is influenced by the outlook that you have. Do you understand that? Okay. Seeing the outcome as a present reality activates its manifestation. Yeah, Missy.
Imagination.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great, that's the way we do it. You just see that you're here. You see that you're delivered. You see that you don't have any lack in your finances. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I want to add to imagination, imitation, like it says, be imitators of God as beloved, and walk in love, the agape, the obedience.
Amen.
Imagination. So that's pretty big.
It is.
You know, and there's another one that says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence unto his faith. So that's Jesus there, and have Jesus's faith, have God's faith, and imagination, you know, casting down imaginations and every high thing. This is done.
It's done. Yeah, absolutely.
It's done. You know, it is finished. You know, and it's a promise. So it's even more than done, because it's now pending to God's word and promise given to us as children of God, which is part of the imagination and the imitation. Yeah. Just saying comments, okay?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anybody else? How many of you can imagine Jesus walking next to you? That's how I get into the spirit realm a lot of times after I've prayed in tongues. I'll just sit down and say, Jesus, take your seat. You know, I just imagine I see him. I've got a good imagination when it comes to Jesus. Because I've seen him, I know. Okay. Number four. Understand heart-brain coherence and the door to your answer will open. Can anybody tell me what that means? Understand heart-brain coherence and the door to your answer will open. Yeah, Julie.
it's in your heart and it's in your mind, you can understand it, and you can see it, you can have it.
Yes.
Kind of like Romans 10, 9 and 10. You believe in your heart, you believe in your heart unto righteousness, you confess with your mouth unto salvation.
Kind of like, come on, girl, like you're that. Doing it. Yeah, like that's that. It. That's it. Yeah. You confess it with your mouth, you believe it in your heart, you got it. Same thing as what the Lord tells us to do. Same thing. And number five, the last one. The quantum world is the kingdom of God manifesting. Glory to God. The quantum world is the kingdom of God manifesting. Remember what the Lord did to create the universe. It didn't happen till what? He spoke it. He spoke it. Glory to God, he spoke it. And I bet he might have said it four or five times. I don't know. Might have said it half a dozen times. Might have said it every, for a year. But I think he said it one time and it was there. Because he'd already practiced it. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, he spoke it, and then he, you know, then he, it was, and he said it was good.
Yep.
You know, he always said, you know, when he finished, when he did something, he said, and it was good. And I guess I was thinking about something else. My phone, I can't remember now what it was. Must not have been important or specific.
Yeah, well, that's
it's just believing, keep believing, keep speaking it. Please, you keep casting down the vain thoughts and imaginations. You keep, you know, ignoring what you feel, ignoring what, you know, the physical stuff. And as far as, you know, trying to imagine Jesus with me, you know, I've been trying to do that more and more, like, especially if anywhere I go, it's like, okay, well, it's just you and me, Lord. It's just always you and me here. And I always ask him to help me do things and to bless what I'm doing and to show me things because, I don't know. And even when I think I know, okay, well, I know what I think I know and I'm doing what I think I know. If there's another way to do this, Lord, show me, you know. There was something else I was going to say, but I can't remember.
How about Mark 9:23? Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Glory to God. Go ahead, Andrew. I thought you had your hand up there for a minute.
Yeah, I did, but I don't know if this applies, but in John chapter 10, he's talking about 10:34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law that I said ye are gods? So, you know, Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he taught us to pray our Father, so he's making us, of course, into that image of Jesus, so. And there it's saying it's by the law, and we don't have we have a fulfillment of the law. So that's kind of imaginationable too there too, because ours is by the fulfillment of the law, which is the grace and the faith and the saving, which is past tense in Ephesians 2:8-9. So. Very quoted verse, you know, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and grace is in Christ Jesus. All you can be in Christ Jesus, and it even says that, you know, to be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and grace gives you everything. It gives you all the fruit, all the blessings, all the gifts. And is it not as simple to ask for it? Is it not already given? I know it says to ask so that you can receive. And it also says, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So just making comments and statements here. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
And isn't this supposed to be living and active? And aren't we supposed to be putting it on?
Yep.
And isn't it all armor as well as Jesus Christ? Just let your imagination think about that, you know, and it's just, if it's promised, it's promised, you know. And let's not forget 2 Peter 1:3-4, you know. So there's two divines in those verses. So praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Michael, can you read number 5 again?
Number 5? Oh. I'm in two different little booklets here. The quantum world is the kingdom of God manifesting.
Thank you. And what I was trying to remember before, what I couldn't remember was, you know, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. You know, and he said, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And, you know, Jesus said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And if we're abiding in Christ and we're dwelling, you know, where he is at, because we were raised with him with Christ, we were raised with Christ. So, you know, and we know that in the spirit realm, we can't see it naturally with our eyes or anything. That God gives visions of that sometimes, but we already know that you know, that his kingdom is here, his angels are here, his presence is here, we're his temple. So it's like wherever, you know, and where God is, he's in us and we're in him. It's like you know, the kingdom of God is here and he wants to manifest that in our lives. It's just every promise, everything that we can think of and ask for in prayer, believe we've received it, is ours, because it's God's will. It's God's will. And but something David shared in his teaching on Sunday is about the Word of God. His will, I can't remember if it was written, his will is the Word of God, or the Word of God is his will. Either way, it's the same, right? It's his Word, is his will. And we just have to know what his word is and what to exercise faith for. And he's the one that manifests it. What can I do? What can you do? You know, he wants to give it to you. It's yours. Anyhow, that's what I was thinking about that, about the kingdom of God. And praise the Lord.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Almost out of time. The biblical perspective is that with God, all things are possible. God brings into our experience answers to our prayers that have already been provided in advance of us even asking. It's already there. All we have to do is reach and grab it and confess it. So every possible in the quantum world, every possible outcome already exists. Nothing is impossible to God. Go ahead, Julie or Andrew, whichever.
I was just thinking, it's like he's already given it to us.
Yep.
Ask and you shall receive. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it.
He also says there, it's impossible with man in that certain verse, but all things are possible with God. And that goes to the point where you're justified, because you're justified, and you may not have the full sanctification of all your fruits yet, but you're still justified. What's in not possible with men, but it's possible with God, and he was going to make it possible at the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his son, to prepare that place for us, right? And if any love me, he'll keep my word. And you're abiding with both the Father and the Son. So that's exciting.
It is. I get excited every time we talk about it. Glory to God. Because it's so easy to understand. The faith issue is, to me, the quantum brought in the easy part. I don't know about y'all. The quantum part of it, it just made it. I said, man, that sealed it for me. I just believe, no. You know why? Because I understand quantum. And it's the same thing as what the Bible says. Same thing. Just in a different way. Whew, glory to God. Somebody ought to be shouting out there, glory to God. I get me to preach it here. All right, well, we're out of time, looks like. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for another good night. We praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that's filling everybody right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Lord, that they're going to receive it and they're going to walk in your glory. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that every one of these are anointed by you, Lord. And not only that, that your crowns that you gave out will be given out to them too in Jesus' name. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Praise God forevermore. All right. Good night, saints. We'll see you next time, God willing.